In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. The only way out of the labyrinth of suffering is to forgive. Welcome without judgment. Love without condition. Forgive without limit. Words of Charlie Kirk, who was brutally murdered a few days ago, quoted by the governor of Utah, Spencer Cox, in an emotional yet calm speech. Now, even though there are things that Charlie Kirk has said over the years that I strongly disagree with, those words of his, for me, are at the heart of what we are celebrating today on the Feast of the Holy Cross. The only way out of the labyrinth of suffering is to forgive. Welcome without judgment. Love without condition. Forgive without limit. I was struck by these words of Governor Cox in particular. He said, "We will never be able to solve all the other problems, including the violence problems that people are worried about, if we can't have a clash of ideas safely and securely, even especially those ideas with which you disagree. That's why this matters so much." My dear friends, we see so much violence on our TV screens. We hear it every day on the news. We read about it in our newspapers. And yes, we come to church to get away from it. But of course, we Christians, even when treated poorly or persecuted or even hated, are called to preach a message of reconciliation, of love rather than hate, of understanding rather than discord, of forgiveness rather than revenge. So, my friends, we can't ignore it. We have to pray about it and do something about it as a community built on love and forgiveness flowing from the broken heart of Jesus on the cross. What's the alternative? Violence? Hate? Revenge? Surely they cannot be the answer. Today we keep Holy Cross Day, and the message of the cross is a message of hope. The message of the cross will never be understood by those who put themselves first and want to trample on those who are weak and marginalized, who want to have the last word, their own words. The message of the cross is a message of liberation from the evil that seems to infect our world, against the sinfulness of wicked people, against those who would wish us harm when we are simply trying to do good. From our epistle reading today, Paul said, "May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." But listen to what he says next. "By which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." Let's digress for a moment. Now, you may think that this feast is a kind of second celebration of Good Friday, but I'm afraid it is not. Now, I have a friend whose family loves to do Christmas in July in the Hamptons, including having a Christmas tree. But Holy Cross Day is not a second Good Friday. Because this is a celebration of the cross seen through the lens of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is different to Holy Week when we go through day by day the events. This is a celebration of the cross seen through the lens of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As we shall sing this afternoon at evensong in our processional hymn, the cross he bore is life and health, though shame and death to him. His people's hope, his people's wealth, their everlasting theme. Now, you may not know, but the origin of today's feast is not Good Friday, but the discovery of the first relic of the true cross by Helena, mother of the Emperor Constantine. And this anniversary, my friends, is actually the anniversary of the consecration of the first basilica, the first church of the Holy Sepulchre, built over that place in Jerusalem 1,690 years ago in the year 335 on this day. The day after the consecration of the first basilica of the Holy Sepulchre, the relic of the true cross was venerated for the first time publicly after centuries of Christian persecution. How poignant. I remember walking the way of the cross in Jerusalem with our pilgrims 3 years ago, which, of course, ends at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, not the original one, of course. We prayed at the place believed to have been Mount Calvary, where you can kneel down and one at a time you place your hand deep into a hole where the cross is said to have been fixed. We walked past the anointing stone as faithful women were pouring oil onto it and rubbing it with cloths. And we bent our bodies to enter into the Holy Sepulchre itself and see the place where Jesus rose from the dead. It was quite a moment. And to those who do not believe, an absurdity. For them, the cross is a sign of abject failure. But for us, because Jesus rose from the dead, it is a sign of victory. Because of the resurrection, what happened on the cross changed everything. It became a salvific event that finally beat down Satan and all his works. And because of what happened on the cross, the resurrection is not a mere resuscitation of a corpse. It is the glorious transformation of mortal flesh into something imperishable and immortal, a sign of hope and life. I'd stand by Charlie Kirk and say those same words as him. Jesus said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now is the ruler of this world to be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." I will draw all people to myself, says Jesus. Think about that. What does he mean? He doesn't say some people to myself. He says, I will draw all people to myself. All people, black and white and all manner of skin pigmentation, young and old, gay, straight, trans, single, married, sad, lonely, joyful, rich, successful, poor, homeless, dispossessed and hungry. I will draw all people to myself, says Jesus, Republican and Democrat, communist and fascist, Mother Teresa's sisters still feeding the dying in Calcutta on the street, and those who believe in genocide. I will draw all people to myself, says Jesus, and it's uncomfortable to hear him say it, because he is the only one who can bring true reconciliation and forgiveness. It is only Jesus who can heal the wounds of sin and division. It is only Jesus who can change people's hearts. It is only Jesus who can help them see the wrong that they are doing. It is only Jesus who can make that kind of difference to our world. Now, sometimes I'm told, Father, you shouldn't bring those kinds of things into the pulpit. And I get it. We come here, as I do, to find solace from the noisiness of the world, to find peace, and not to be reminded of the dysfunction of our world. But my friends, it is not okay to ignore the pain of the world and the pain of so many communities. Dear Archbishop Michael Ramsay once said that it is not okay that we have all this pain and division. It is not okay that we have discrimination and people not caring or listening to one another. He said it is not okay to turn a blind eye and ignore suffering, because as he so powerfully said, and I heard him preaching on this very same gospel text of Jesus drawing all people to himself, he said this: it was the okay that crucified Jesus in the first place. You do not understand that it's better for you to have one man die for the people than to have the whole nation destroyed. Caiaphas, John 11, verse 50. It was the okay that crucified Jesus. How do we change things when we feel so helpless? How do we make a difference when we feel so weak and powerless? How can we be strong and show true forgiveness when we feel attacked? Or even worse, ignored, our message seen as irrelevant? The only way out of the labyrinth of suffering is to forgive. Welcome without judgment, love without condition, forgive without limit. The judgment of the world that Jesus speaks of comes not through the exercise of power or through angry voices or through scoring points or through domination over those with whom we disagree, and especially not through weapons and violence. It comes through the arms of Jesus stretched wide on the cross in a loving embrace. And we, my friends, must allow ourselves to be drawn to him into that embrace. I used to know the theologian Ken Leach when I was a young priest, gosh, nearly 40 years ago. Now, many of us at that time in my orbit belonged to a group that gathered around him. It was called the Jubilee Group, after the Jubilee idea in the Hebrew Scriptures. And we were all, I have to say, pretty lefty, but we were very Anglo-Catholic. And at this group of priests, we all worked in the inner city, in London and Manchester and Birmingham and Sheffield, and in some very, very deprived areas. And we were all concerned about the poverty and the inequality in those cities and in the communities where we lived and where we served. But I remember some words of Ken which speak as powerfully to me today as they did then. He said this: the cross is not a problem to be understood, but a mystery into which we enter. The cross is not a problem to be understood, but a mystery into which we enter. For some of us in our lives, during our lives, maybe it's happened to you already, it certainly happened to me, we may very well experience the mystery of the cross with all its pain, with all its humiliation, with all its suffering, perhaps even physical suffering. I was talking with our dear friend Bishop John O'Hara from the Roman Catholic Archdiocese the other day. As you know, he has Parkinson's, and it's getting really advanced. We had a lovely conversation, and he said to me now how he realized his ministry as a bishop had to adapt to the way his body was failing him. He told me movingly how every day he reflected on the cross and the sufferings of Jesus, and how next year, when he went with the Order of Malta to Lourdes, He would not be in the procession of bishops in their fine robes, but in a wheelchair with those who are sick and disabled. So, my friends, when you see or hear disturbing things, violence, disagreements, war, suffering, or, my goodness, we're a church, even people just being unkind to one another, remember the words of Jesus. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. And however you attempt to respond, be brave. Remember what Michael Ramsay said, it's not okay. So don't let's pretend it is. You may feel helpless, but you can take all your pain, your suffering, your anger, your frustration, and even people's prejudices to the cross. So, I want to end with the dismissal used in the Anglican Church in Kenya. Now, I have to say, it means you have to be a little bit non-Episcopalian and use your hands. Okay? But don't worry, it's only going to embarrass you for just a moment. And in any case, when Archbishop Sentamu was in this pulpit, he had you waving all your arms around a couple of years ago on Easter Day, and I know that secretly lots of you loved it. So in your bulletin, you should have one of these cards. You need this little card. I hope you can see it. Little card. That's right, choir, you've got your cards. Ministers, you've got your cards. Now, choir and ministers behind me, you're going to have to turn to face the cross, and it's next to me on the pulpit here, and you might not even be able to see it, but it's there. That's right, boys. You're going to give a good lead. And with the first three statements, you're going to sweep your arm to the cross. This is what all Kenyans do at the end of Mass. I kid you not, Mother Turner's been there, and she came back and said, you should see what they do at the end of Mass. You're going to sweep to the cross. Three times. And then the last statement, you're going to sweep your arm to heaven. Okay? Just play nicely with me for a moment. So let's stand. And before we offer this special prayer, I want you to spend a moment in quiet, just a little moment. Think of anything. Maybe it's one little thing. It can only be one thing. Or maybe there are lots of things that are troubling you, or things that are troubling your family, or our church community, or our country today. Let's just spend a moment to think of something you want to bring, or things you want to bring to the cross. All our problems we send to the cross of Christ. All our difficulties we send to the cross of Christ. All the devil's works we send to the cross of Christ. All our hopes we set on the risen Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.